From Baffin Bay to Palo Duro Canyon and Mount Locke to Davy Crockett National Forest, when government works against your liberty, Pratt on Texas will sound the alarm. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, the raid on Trump's home is a new level of federal abuse of law enforcement. There are many ways to achieve what they claim they were after, as one legal expert put it. I mean, a simple grand jury subpoena. What did you need a raid for? Well, it's politics. And it's unprecedented in our country's history. And the liberals all over the pundit liberals on the most of the liberal news channels are telling us, well, that's why we know it was justified, because it is so unprecedented. Really? But one of the people I respect, a really good writer, asks, except what if it isn't justified? I mean, most of us are saying, well, it wasn't. Well, we don't know all the legal details, but there's another question. What if it wasn't justified? Who pays the price? Because, folks, this truly is banana republic stuff. This is the kind of thing that continues the destruction of the nation and its ability to operate as a republic that requires trust of the citizenry. And certainly the Clintons didn't get treatment, and they had a similar classified records issue, and it was even around, looked like violating laws and stuff and other things. I mean, this whole thing is amazing. We'll talk about it quite a bit today. Our Lone Star story of the day is that story, and it's sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your buddy. In compliance with DOT testing regs, they'll be your third-party administrator. They can do your tests, your sample collections, and all that stuff you got to do. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. Texas Public Utilities Commission was an absolute disaster, totally appointed by Governor Abbott, and he took their resignations, you know, and put new ones in there. And then the new ones are incompetent, it seems. They've done it again, this time on the telephone bills. And I've had this story. I didn't cover it in detail. I've been watching it. I don't think I had time. I've been following this, including the court case. But what all this leads to is, and they voted to massively increase the Universal Service Fund fee or tax on your phone bills. And I mean, it looks like it's going to affect y'all. No, we're not just talking landlines. For example, T-Mobile already sending out notices to customers that they're going to raise people's rates. It's just mistakes and bad management and incompetence. And I wonder how in the world these folks, given it's an election year, how in the world these folks appointed by Abbott, I mean, where is it? Why, quit picking these inside Austin people to run this stuff. They're ignorant. They're idiots. This is terrible stuff, and it'll end up hurting him, I'm afraid. When people get their bills, they're going to be mad. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. That's Pratt, P-R-A-T-T, on texas.com. And as always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. Let's get a few headlines in. Texas scorecard, actually, carrying a crime-related story that I didn't see elsewhere. I didn't see it in the Valley media. I'm sure it was there. Well, this is not the Valley. This is up in Webb County, Laredo area. But a Zapata teacher's been arrested for allegedly groping a 16-year-old. Apparently goes up behind somebody at a Dollar General and grabs the rear. And apparently there's store video and all this. And I think their point of the story was the school district, Zapata ISD, they did put him on leave and everything, but the whole deal, he got an attorney, and then he was supposed to go talk to the investigators, but he never did, with the Texas Rangers, and, oh, I don't know. Anyway, the guy's a PE teacher, and he's been on administrative leave since June 27th. Kind of a sordid story, but it reminds you who, you know, not every teacher out there is just this wonderful person who just cares for the kids. Operation Lubbock Tornado results in arrest of 12 sex offenders. You know, I would usually not even bring this story to you. I just like the fact that the sheriff and police department, everybody in DPS called it Operation Lubbock Tornado. They got a bunch of people, a lot of people for not registering for sex offender status and all that kind of thing. Lubbock tornado. I saw that. That caught my eye. Operation Lubbock tornado. Speaking of Lubbock, Governor Abbott announces Governor's Small Business Series. They say this connects small business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs with resources and information needed to start, strengthen, and grow a business. It sounds good. It's a series the Governor's Economic Development and Tourism Office is doing, and they'll be in Lubbock on the 25th of August. It's free, but it's limited to 250 registrants. You got to go to the governor's website, gov.gov.texas.gov, and then /business/event/governor/small business series Lubbock. Just go find the small business series. They'll be going, they're going around the state with this. As a serial entrepreneur since I was 15 years old, I don't know. I mean, these kind of things to me are absolutely worthless and pointless, but sort of an official way that maybe to campaign. I don't think the governor's at it, though. I think the economic development people do it. Texas cowboy Wes O'Neill, who was born way down up in Clarendon in the Panhandle way back in 1933 in the Depression, became a real cowboy, worked on the R.O. Ranch, and he went to the W.T. Wagner Estate, the Wagner Ranch in 1957, worked for the historic J.A. Ranch in the Panhandle for 7 years. He worked for Wagner for 58 uninterrupted years, served 12 years as wagon boss during his 17 years with the cattle operation, spent 41 years with the Wagner horse operation, 25 of those years as horse foreman, directing breeding of broodmares and stallions. He has been chosen to be the recipient of the fourth ever recipient of the prestigious Ranching Heritage Association Working Cowboy Award. That'll be awarded at the 44th Annual National Golden Spur Award Dinner coming up on October 15th in Lubbock, of course, from the National Ranching Heritage Center in the big place there at Texas Tech. And that's a prestigious award, Wes O'Neill. All right, my friends, today in Texas history, we're going to get all the Trump stuff in a moment. Let me get some more of this in. In 1911, John Warren Bettamillion Gates, that's what he was called, Bettamillion. John Warren Bettamillion Gates was born in 1911 in Illinois. He helped finance the Texas Company in 1902, which you later knew as Texaco, the Texas Company. He was a big industrialist and notorious bon vivant. Controlled the Kansas City Southern Railway, formed the Texas Company, now Texaco, which he owned 46% of the stock, financed drilling efforts at Patillo Higgins at Spindletop. His nickname derived from his fondness for gambling at poker, the stock market, and horse races. By the way, in 1929, speaking of oil, the Shamrock Oil and Gas Company was founded in Amarillo. And then, of course, it became merged with Diamond and became Diamond Shamrock. And now it's all part of the San Antonio-based Valero. And Valero started in 2021, bringing the Diamond Shamrock brand back in some states. That's good. So, my friends, that's your look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing security, surveillance, witness interviews, statements, criminal and civil investigations, employee background checks, and more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. The Houston, biggest school district in Texas, not much good there, but apparently their school police chief, it doesn't buy the leftist deal. Remember after the Uvalde thing, all the stories and the leftist pundits all about how, see, the good guy with a gun thing, it just doesn't apply. Well, obviously it does apply. You're an utter moron if you don't understand why it applies. Big story in the Houston Chronicle today, or maybe yesterday. Houston ISD superintendent says school police, quote, not prepared, end quote, for shooting, requests more guns and officers. Pedro Lopez Jr. said HISD needs a sizable boost in weaponry, defensive equipment, active shooter training, 200 rifles, 200 ballistic plates, shields as well, and rifle ammo to qualify our officers. Right now, as we've studied Uvalde scenario and looked at what proper preparation needs to be in place, our officers would not have been prepared. So proving the good guy with a gun thing really is true, and the guys out there running the show know it. All right, we'll be back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas.
Join us for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com. LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans, I'll see you there.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Yes, we will get to the big federal issue and the raid on Trump's home and all of that. Some other stories, though. This is something I've been following. I had it in the stack. I went and looked in the break. I've had it in the stack about the court case and the ruling and everything, and I just haven't had time to get it to you. And the reporting on it early on was a little uncertain, and we didn't know what the Public Utility Commission, the PUC, was going to do about it. Well, now we know. These morons who are solely appointed by the governor, and remember, he replaced them after the big problem with didn't he replace them after the problem with the electric grid thing, the big freeze? They voted in July, in other words, this just happened in their last meeting, to increase a longstanding surcharge. You've paid this tax for years. By the way, free market people have been saying to get rid of these taxes for years, but the legislature hasn't. They voted to increase this surcharge. It's a tax on all your phone bills. Okay, it's 3.3%. for voice service, voice calls, and it goes to a big fund that funds the Universal Service Fund. There's a federal version of this too. You hear Al Gore talk about it sometimes. So you got the Texas Universal Service Fund, and this is to make it possible to have telephone. Goes back to when you're stringing poles, you know, in rural parts of the state, huge parts of the state. Well, they've just decided, they lost a court case, and it's all their fault. And they're going to increase the tax from 3.3% to 24%. I mean, this is a massive tax increase. And T-Mobile's already begun notifying customers that increased fees are going to be on their bills starting this month. The exact amount will depend on the plan. Some people are going to get it. Your landline phones, it's going to go on there. However you've got it. I have a flat rate deal with one of these. Well, anyway, I don't know. We'll see. The rate took effect August 1st, said it'll add a couple of dollars for most consumers with a typical individual cell phone plan. Now, I have a flat rate plan, you know, and on both my landline stuff and the others. I have no idea how this is going to work out. And it could be quite a bit more for people and multiple lines, or if you pay per minute. We don't know how they're going to work it out, because the companies are not required to pass that on to you, but of course they will, because any fee or tax is just the cost of doing business. Well, the Texas Telephone Association, which represents 43 rural telecoms, are supposed to get a big payment, bunch of payments to help offset the cost of providing universal service. All right. A court ordered the PUC to restore $200 million in overdue money to the Universal Service Fund. And those rural operations, a lot of you are on them. They serve more than 4 million customers across Texas. Now, they weren't greedy. The association, those people were right to sue, because this is a legal thing and a law. And federal and state rules have all this thing about universal service, and you have to do it, and it's a federal and state deal and all this stuff. They redid the funding mechanism on this back in 1987 to shore up the system. And the PUC put out a statement saying, these Abbott-appointed geniuses said the increased fees were imposed on the telecom companies and they are not required to pass the cost on to residential business customers, which, of course, is laughable because they will. And Greeter, Yeah, that's right. The infamous Erica Greeter, writing for the Houston Chronicle. Now she's a business writer there. Writes, the change will remain in effect for months, if not longer. Rich Parsons, the agency spokesman, said the PUC plans to reduce the fee in about a year as the fund is replenished. But he added, the rate may not drop back to its previous level of 3.3% unless the commissioners vote accordingly. We don't know yet. Now, somebody named Moore with the Texas Telephone Association, yeah, well, they were very proud of their court victory originally. Yeah, that's right. Because he says, he explained the PUC's approach to covering the gap is really not what they had in mind. Nobody intended for them to go put 3.3% and then go to 24% just to make up the money. Now, the legislature, she points out, had entered a bill trying to make this fee apply to all kinds of things like Skype calls and all that. And they think that was it was bad. They're crazy. There's just no way to track that because these services can all be based offshore and never have anything to do with our authority. But anyway, Greg Abbott, that bill passed the legislature with big support, but Greg Abbott vetoed it, and he was right to veto it last time because it was it's just a new tax, and it's silly, and it's just silly. But, folks, what happened was these idiots at the PUC just stopped paying. I kid you not. They just, by law, they were supposed to be transferring money to the rural telecom providers. And the PUC, these commissioners, just didn't do it. That's why they lost the court case. They just stopped making the required payments. Well, there's not enough money in the fund. Okay, whatever. But it doesn't matter. Who there was not looking at this and saying, okay, maybe it needs to be 4% right now, maybe 4.5%. I don't know. Surely no political pressure came from the governor to say, well, don't raise that at all, because now look at what you get. 3.3% going to 24%. It's massive. It's unprecedented. Never seen anything like this before. And you're going to be paying more because of it. And they don't know. It might just be there for a while. It might not. Whatever. You know, they're collecting it on cell phone plans. So you can't buy any of the crap about, well, the landlines are going away and that was an old model. No. There are more phone numbers in use in Texas than ever in history. I mean, even if you norm it against population, because the cost has come down so much with mobile technology. That fund ought to be having plenty of money. And you just wonder. I've looked at a lot of the reporting over this over the last few days, and back when the court case was out, I read several of those stories. I don't quite, it just shows you how the media, now, if it's an attack thing they think they can attack somebody with, they'll go for it. But it's just kind of interesting to me that there was not a rush of big stories in the major press saying, how in the world can these people at the PUC be that incompetent? How could they have just stopped making the payments when it's required by law to these telephone providers, the rural telecoms? It was all argued in court. They lost. Once that, you know, before that, you could say, well, there's two sides. Everybody's got an argument. But once the court case was settled, why in the world? I don't know. It's odd to me. I just think it's an example of, you know, you can say, well, Abbott appointed him and his other appointees totally mucked up the big freeze thing on the pricing and all. Okay, and now these are his new people. They've done this stuff, so maybe they're all a bunch of idiots. But at what point does somebody say, this is probably why we don't need regulators and these kind of programs to begin with? Because how can you depend on government? Good grief. Anyway, the whole thing's weird. And here's another weird one in the state news today. Biden administration's, you know, has, just like the Obama administration did, a full war on Texas. And there's these battles are popping up in every front. The latest one, and places obscure to most people, the latest is that the EPA says they're going to investigate the state's version, the TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, for civil rights violations in concrete batch plant permit processes. And these are these little, you know, small concrete plants they set up sort of near a big construction area where they can feed it into the big trucks with the rotating tanks and all that stuff. And the leftists don't like anything. They claim that the dust, you know, is going to kill you. But here, I kid you not, the TCEQ found a little problem in the permitting process, so they changed the permitting process to make it easier so everybody, including, you know, concrete plants owned and worked in and concrete purchased by minorities. But the feds say that TCEQ's process for changing the deal to make it easier on everybody wasn't fair to those that speak limited English, didn't have the right notices, and that they're going to investigate whether Black and Latino residents were discriminated against on the basis of race because of a permitting change. Weird.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Silvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Now, here's a man who thinks you take the good with the bad from an elected official. But when the bad threatens liberty, you throw the bum out. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We get to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. The raid on Trump's home is a new level of federal abuse of law enforcement. It's unprecedented. Libs are trying to say, well, that's why we know it was justified, and the real question is, wait, what if it wasn't? Which I don't think it was, period, but we don't know all the details. Certainly the Clintons didn't get this treatment for very similar things. Let's talk about it and sort of walk through this in the next couple of segments. Con Carroll at the Washington Examiner had a really good piece this morning. I've read dozens upon dozens upon dozens. A lot of things you see are repeat, but I'm looking at more original copy. Three quick thoughts on what we know about Mar-a-Lago raid so far, and I've just highlighted some things. The FBI has never raided the home of a former president until yesterday. Additionally, it's been widely reported the search had nothing to do with January 6th and apparently was only related to a possible violation of U.S. code concerning some proper handling and retention of classified documents. Of course, you got to remember the president's the one who can classify them. He writes, this would be the same law, the exact same law that Hillary Clinton ran afoul of when she maintained a private email server as Secretary of State. And then Con gives some thoughts, one about the unprecedented nature and why the DOJ better turn over everything and release the warrant and, you know, justify this because it's so outrageous. He says, second, this has been manna from heaven politically for Trump after a rough summer of January 6th revelations ahead of Republican primary voters looking beyond 2020. This raid's been has the potential to turn Trump into a martyr. I don't think that's new. When the DOJ chooses to ignore Hunter Biden's laptop and lets far-left activists harass Supreme Court justices in their home, again, violations of the law in these cases, clearly, they better have a good reason to take such a strong interest in a possible violation of 18 U.S.C. 2071. Third, no matter what you hear from hack Democratic lawyers, I've even seen Newsmax and people who ought to know better, even if Trump was convicted of mishandling documents under the federal statute, that would not disqualify him for running for president. Why? Well, because it's the Constitution that sets the requirements for who's qualified to run for president. And mishandling classified documents isn't listed there as a bar to being president. A law doesn't supersede the Constitution. The Constitution supersedes the law. Yeah, that statute claims that Anybody convicted is disqualified from holding any office under the U.S., but Congress doesn't have the authority to change the requirements for who can run for president. That would require a constitutional amendment. That's important to know. Governor Abbott, in a tweet, said almost the exact words I used last night to myself about it being a neck. I think I said a new level of Nixonian, and he said Governor Abbott called it next level Nixonian. He said never before has the country seen an administration go to such extent to use the levers of government to target a former president and political rival. Of course, he said this weaponizes the power to squelch dissent. Such abuses must have limits. And the Nixonian side is, you know, is the Watergate burglars, Liddy and the rest of them, breaking into the Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate Hotel. All on the political side. Well, so what's going on here? Senator Ted Cruz characterized the raid as corrupt. What Nixon tried to do, Biden has now implemented. The Biden administration's fully weaponized DOJ and FBI to target their political enemies. And with 87,000 new IRS agents, they're coming for you, too. That's not a joke. That's true, folks. You wonder why you don't have hardly any community banks anymore, and they've all gathered together, and they've all been bought out, and you don't have 12 independent bankers in town as a small business? Because the left has been using the levers of power since the beginning of the Obama years, specifically with Dodd-Frank and other regulations, to put independent bankers out of business. Thus, you starve entrepreneurs and small business people of capital, the ability to easily find capital for a dynamic business. They want a European model that's very statist and that they can control. Much easier to control a few hundred banks than tens of thousands of independent banks. This is going on all through everything. We haven't put a stop to it, and Trump should have stopped that and didn't, and that was a big failure because people were telling them that this Dodd-Frank thing was underneath the thing, one of the worst things going on. But this is what's going on. They're coming at all the small. This is the IRS thing is just the ability to start harassing, you know, successful small businesses out of business. It's not that they're going to prove you did something wrong. The problem is with the IRS, you're guilty until you prove you're innocent. Small businesses literally will go out of business just trying to deal with an audit because you don't have the time for it. Representative Dustin Burroughs, my state rep, he texted out that the raid appeared to be politically motivated. We cannot allow the DOJ and FBI to be used like the KGB. We must always distinguish ourselves, right? Well, that's the way it seems to be going. Our friends at the Texas Scorecard had a little part in their email this morning. You're next. Point one, now that the DOJ and FBI have been fully and publicly weaponized. They've already been weaponized. We've known it from back in the Obama years with Eric Holder. But, you know, even more so now for political gamesmanship by Democrats, troubling precedent's been set. Never done this before, not Nixon, not the Clintons. Then you get the 87,000 IRS agents hired. They're going to come after you next. And they quote Ronnie Jackson, who will be at the Sportsman's Club, the Hunter's Banquet and Auction on 27 August. Ronnie Jackson wrote, "Wake up, Joe Biden is using the FBI to go after President Trump. Are you kidding me? Democrats are voting to double the size of the IRS so they can come after you for more of your hard-earned paycheck. Is this the Soviet Union or Communist China? They must be stopped," said Ronnie Jackson of Amarillo. And the Heritage Foundation's president, who used to be president of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Kevin Roberts, put out a piece on the same subject, the same line. Imagine what they think they can do to the average American. Part of what he said, this is an extension of the left's relentless campaign to drive a wedge between us. Those who believe it's okay to weaponize the state against its citizens, and those of us, the forgotten Americans, who are tired of being treated as second-class citizens. At a time when faith in American institutions is at an all-time low, Biden and his regime only continue to widen the gap with no hope of return. Kevin says the timing is suspect at best, given the upcoming elections and the Senate's passage of a bill that would authorize the hiring of 87,000 new IRS agents who will be unleashed to target working and middle-class Americans in order to fund the left's radical agenda. If they think they can treat a former president this way, imagine what they think they can do to the average American. Such actions could only be justified based on overwhelming evidence of wrongdoing. The FBI needs to immediately explain its reckless actions, and Biden needs to answer the questions of whether he ordered the raid. Now, the White House is claiming they knew nothing about it, but remember, the DOJ runs under the president, and the Merrick Garland serves at the pleasure of the president. So he is responsible. And of course, Andrew Yang, the former Democrat, the rich guy that started his own third party this year. Remember, he ran for, left the Democrats in 2021. Didn't he run for president too? He's the one that wants the universal income. He had a good point on Twitter. Yang said, "I'm no Trump fan. I want him as far away from the White House as possible. But a fundamental part of his appeal has been that it's him against the corrupt government establishment. This raid strengthens that case for millions of Americans who will see this as unjust persecution." Yang went on to say, "It seems like this was authorized by a local judge and particular FBI office without buy-in or notification of higher levels of government." Well, that's not DOJ new to the top. But literally no one will believe that or make a distinction. It's probably bureaucratic, but it seems political. Well, that's because it is political. Yang, they did know. That's all there is to it. DeSantis called the Biden regime, the White House, the administration, a banana republic. He said that the raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents. While people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves, and let's add in here the Clintons too, we'll get to that in the next segment. Now the regime's getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against its adversaries. Banana Republic, wrote Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida accurately. Much more on this in a moment. Stay with us.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Winter's Dozer Service knows you may need terraces built, ponds dug out, or water runoff routes worked to save that water and soil. And Winter's Dozer Service stands ready to get the job done safely and productively. Jump on those projects now with Winter's Dozer Service. Conservation, construction, and cleanup. Winter's Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
At Thacker, every piece of jewelry represents a moment in time worth celebrating.
But when the jewelry leaves our store, that's when the real story begins. Her engagement ring will tell the story of the loving relationship that you share.
Your wedding band tells the story of the perfect day when you two came together. I'm blessed to be in a business where every piece of jewelry that leaves our store goes on to tell a beautiful story. We hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.
Hey now, Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers out here on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde. Our yard is always open, so you can stop in and check out our inventory. Each container for sale has a little orange price tag on the door. I told my wife the other day we might make one into a little mother-in-law apartment, you know, that you can put out behind the house. I'm gonna call it the Contain Her.
Robert.
It locks from the outside.
Robert.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a man so important other talk show hosts listen to his show even while they're on the air. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas as we continue with this weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI for political purposes. The next level Nixonian raid of Trump's home. And by the way, the fact he wasn't there is part of the legal problem with this and pointing out it's all ridiculous. Amber Athey is just one of the spectacular young conservative writers in the country, and she's writing in Spectator World. In her piece today, the Mar-a-Lago raid is pure political intimidation. That's a long column, but I'm going to give you part of it. One would assume the bar should be exceedingly high for the Department of Justice to execute a search warrant on a man who was previously the leader of the free world. That is not the case. And by the way, none of us are saying that presidents are beyond the law. That's not what we're talking about. That is not the case here, nor sadly is it surprising given the seemingly endless fishing expedition that Biden and the Democrats have subjected Trump to over the past year and a half. And then, of course, go back for the 4 years of his administration, the same thing. She says, quoting Trump, "After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate," Trump said in a statement. "They even broke into my safe. What is the difference between this and Watergate, where operatives broke into the Democratic National Committee? Here, in reverse, Democrats broke into the home of the 44th President of the United States." It's a good point. Amber Athey writes, "The decision to send agents into Trump's home over a quibble," and that's all it is, a quibble about document retention, "reeks of political intimidation. when Bill Clinton was found to have inappropriately kept gifts and furniture from the White House, in other words, he stole it, he returned the items and the situation was treated as a misunderstanding. The Clinton's home was not raided by the FBI. Why was Trump's? And remember, we'll get to that in a moment. She had the same records problem under the same statute. Amber says, this raid feels just like another one of the left's harebrained schemes to politically sink their arch nemesis. It also reminds us, and this is a good reminder, thank you, Amber, that Attorney General Merrick Garland is not the moderate the Democrats painted him when angling to get him on the Supreme Court. Garland has overseen the most wanton politicization of the Justice Department in modern history, and that's saying a lot following Eric Holder, who openly was doing so. When prosecutors illegally gathered outside the homes of Supreme Court justices after the court appeared to set to overturn Roe v. Wade, Garland did not act, yet they were actually breaking specific federal laws. When parents spoke passionately at school board meetings against progressive gender ideology, critical race theory, and school closures, Merrick Garland and the DOJ did act. They created a threat tag to track them. Amber finished the column with, naturally, Trump's critics will celebrate the FBI's raid. They'll be blissfully unconcerned that the gratuitous and unjust investigation of political opponents is just the kind of authoritarianism they warned would be ushered in by Trump's administration. Remember all that? She's right. Remember, the Biden administration is going to restore our norms and institutions. The judge who approved the FBI raid on the Mar-a-Lago once linked to Jeffrey Epstein, a really good bit of journalism by three folks at the New York Post. Judge Bruce Reinhardt approved the warrant. He was elevated to magistrate judge in March 2018 after 10 years in private practice. That November, the Miami Herald, which is a liberal newspaper, reported he had represented several of Jeffrey Epstein's employees, including, by Reinhardt's own admission to the outlet, Epstein's pilots, his scheduler, Sarah Kellen, and Nadia Marchinkova, who Epstein once reportedly described as his Yugoslavian sex slave. Kellen and Marchinkova were among Epstein's lieutenants who were granted immunity as part of a controversial 2007 deal with federal prosecutors that allowed the pervert to plead guilty to state charges rather than federal crimes. According to the outlet, Miami Herald, Reinhardt resigned from South Florida U.S. Attorney's Office effective on New Year's Day 2008 and immediately went to work for Epstein's cohorts the following day. He was later named, Reinhardt was, in a civil lawsuit accusing him of violating Justice Department policies by switching sides in the middle of the Epstein investigation. And the Herald covered that in 2018. He denied that in an affidavit. However, in 2013, a court filing, Reinhardt's former colleagues contradicted him, saying he had learned confidential, well, in other words, he had been part of the investigation, did switch sides. Reinhardt's one of three federal magistrate judges in the West Palm Beach offices of the U.S. Court District Court for the Southern District Court of Florida. So you got a judge that signed it who has an extremely checkered past, who gave up his Department of Justice job and the next day registered as the lawyer for a bunch of that pervert Jeffrey Epstein's people. So he's very comfortable around these kind of people. I'm sure they offered big money. And John Solomon at Just the News, he owns Just the News, one of the best sites out there, had a great piece. FBI raid on Trump compound stands in stark contrast to Clinton treatment years earlier. Back in the summer of 2015, there was no raid of Clinton's home in Chappaqua, where the server, her illegal server, had been operating with her email. In fact, the former Secretary of State's lawyer, David Kendall, was allowed to keep a thumb drive of the archive in her inbox, complete with classified materials on it, in his office. The FBI even approved a special safe for Kendall to use to store the materials. In the end, Ms. Clinton faced no prosecution because then FBI Director James Comey refused to send the matter to DOJ, even though he declared her handling of classified emails as reckless. It was against the law, folks, the exact law. Of course, the big difference is, as Secretary of State, she's not in charge of classification. And by the way, Patel, I've got that story up on the Facebook from last night. One of the big insiders said, look, these documents are talking about, we had declassified them. The markings don't necessarily get changed right away, but anyway, the president gets to decide what's classified or not, just so you know. And he said the disparate handling John Solomon did of two cases involving famous figures led immediately to charges Monday night that the FBI was acting with political double standard. Well, that's obvious to everyone. Mark Levin's angry as hell. He's got a lot of experience. He knows what he's talking about. Said the Democratic Party's dragging us to the end of the third world. Yes, that's what they want economically, too. Look at the bill they just passed. Alan Dershowitz, Democrat, said a grand jury subpoena would have been more appropriate. Dershowitz said, absent convincing proof that Trump was planning to destroy evidence, the DOJ and FBI risk committing an abuse of power with the raid. In other words, you only do a raid when you think they're going to destroy the evidence. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, another Democrat who thinks pretty clearly on most things, said the whole raid raises questions. The question is why a subpoena would not suffice, particularly when the subject is not present at the location. Instead, a raid was ordered to scope up boxes of potential sensitive documents that were not reviewable at the scene. It's just crazy. All you had to do was some kind of investigation, you just get a subpoena over it. And we already know from what Trump said, they had been talking with them. And all this is just some bureaucrat at the National Archives claims he's got a bunch of documents. They have no ability to refer a criminal referral or anything. They're just a keeper of records. They don't make any determination. In fact, it would be President Trump who would be the one who could make the determination as to what's classified or not in his administration. Solely him. Charles C.W. Cook, writing at National Review today, had the best piece of all that's a thinking piece about what's going on here. If the raid on Mar-a-Lago was not justified, then what? Now, this is a fantastic piece, and I did not intend this as a tease, but I look down at the clock, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no way I can get this in, and yet it was one of the things I wanted to cover the most. Unfortunately, we have this big deal with phone bills and the PUC and other things from Texas News that I needed to get in at the top of the show. So this isn't a tease, but what I'm going to do is do an extra segment to get through this. Those of you on radio, all you got to do, the show's podcast will be up at 6 p.m. or a few minutes after today, prattontexas.com or any of the major podcasts. I don't know how quickly it populates out to Apple and everybody, but you can always just go right away the minute it posts at my website. And I'm going to cover this piece because I think it's important. We'll do that as a podcast extra. And it'll just be appended into the show's podcast as a whole. It won't be a separate posting there. So go get it. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Pratt returns after the break.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com. Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com. A big thank you to USA Investigations, who sponsors our Look at Texas History each day. They provide professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, including security. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. That's usainvestigations.net.
He secretly has a red, white, and blue flag in his closet with the number 1787 scrawled on it. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, a podcast-only segment of today's program, as I explained in the fourth segment. Charles C.W. Cook at National Review had really one of the most important pieces on this whole situation with Trump, because it's sort of like my training from way back as a debater is to be able to argue both sides of every issue, and I do that with myself all the time. I mean, you really can't be a good advocate for your own side if you can't parody and understand the arguments of the other side. It's just a skill. And one of the things, you know, I've always, like I learned in sales and marketing, people say, well, it's too expensive. And salespeople get, well, how do I handle that? Well, the question is always, compared to what? Compared to what? It's too expensive. Compared to not having the benefits of the product? What if it's saving you money? You see, there's always another question. And Charles C.W. Cook is just a very strong intellect. And his piece was, if the raid was not justified, then what? And he talks about a lot of, you know, how the media is going on about dramatic norm-breaking event and all that. That's true. And because of that, it must have been warranted. I addressed that a little bit earlier in the show. And he said, you got all these talking heads that hate Trump on TV saying they crossed the Rubicon here. That was that weird George Conway on CNN. And not even Richard Nixon's house in San Clemente was searched, as far as we know. David Axelrod saying, one thing's very clear, Garland would not have authorized this raid and no federal judge would have signed off on it if there weren't significant evidence to warrant it. This seemed to be the takeaway on most of the cable news shows, too, wrote Charles C.W. Cook. And this is critical here. This is a person who knows how to think. Missing, though, was the second part of that thought. You know, there's nothing wrong with that thought. Man, this is so unprecedented. They must have something. Oh, well, that's a normal human reaction. But the second part is, but what if it isn't true? What if it's not justified? What if it is just bad actors and people playing politics? George Conway says the FBI crossed the Rubicon, but that this must be because something there must be something behind the curtain that would surprise us, you know, like the where there's smoke, there's fire stuff, which, of course, didn't prove out to be true in the Russia hoax and all the other stuff. Charles says, okay, but what if there's not? What then? I'd like to hear his thoughts talking about Conway. David Axelrod said that Garland would not have authorized this raid and no federal judge would have signed off on it if it weren't significant evidence to warrant it. Okay, but what if they did? Then what? I'd like to know what Axelrod thinks that means. If this was obviously justified, Conway, Axelrod, and company will be able to sit back and say, see, and I'll join them. As I've written before, there's nothing, this is Charles Cook, there's nothing wrong per se with investigating presidential candidates so long as it's done even-handedly. And if Trump has committed a crime for which others in similar position have been prosecuted, then he ought to be charged. But if it wasn't justified and the FBI crossed the Rubicon without cause, what happens next? Do we just move on as if nothing ever happened? Charles points out that Politico, their playbook, quotes a lawyer on this point. Quote, if they raided his home justifying classified documents he took from the White House, one legal expert noted, he will be reelected president in 2024 hands down. It'll prove to be the greatest law enforcement mistake in history. And Charles says, you know, that's right. This is political after all the way around. And that's the useful, he said, this is a useful yardstick. That's what he's saying in that shorter phrase. It contains a specific and testable definition of unjustified. Justifying classified documents he took from the White House? Contains a judgment that utilizes that standard. It will prove to be the greatest law enforcement mistake in history. And contains a prediction. He'll be reelected president in 2024 hands down. Cook says, I'd like to hear a similar specificity from others who have suggested the raid must have been justified. And then, meaning, if it wasn't, if it turns out it wasn't. Of course, in their fantasy world, it won't matter what happens. They'll still claim it was, you know, they still think the Russia hoax was real. But then Charles gets back to the real question here. What in precise terms does justified look like? And if the raid was unjustified using those terms, then what should happen to the people who enabled it? That's a good question. You know, should the Attorney General, Eric Garland, resign? Should that federal judge that left his DOJ, his U.S. Attorney position to go represent Epstein's lieutenants, the pervert's lieutenants, should he be impeached? Should he be removed from the bench by the Senate? Should the FBI be reformed? Should Biden be blamed? What about the whole federal government? Charles says, I know nothing more about the details than anyone else. By the way, that's right. We don't know everything, so be careful with absolute statements because you don't know. You may have belief and faith and hope, but that's not the same. He said, I know nothing more about the details than anyone else, but I'll lay out my own views on this as best I can. They are that the warrant must be immediately made public. That, as head of the executive branch, Biden must explain to the country what happened. Yes, it's Biden's concern. Progressive wishes to the contrary. The DOJ is not some free-floating fourth branch of government. It is under the president's purview. That, for the raid to be justified, the warrant and explanation must clearly reveal, A, there was an urgent need to obtain evidence that pertained to a serious crime, B, that this evidence could not possibly have been obtained by other means or on another occasion or without a surprise visit, and C, that if the target was not named Donald Trump, a similar operation would have been launched. Also, Charles says that if the standard's not met, Merrick Garland must resign or be impeached, as must be the head of the FBI, and that the FBI must be examined and reformed as a matter of utmost priority. And he's talking about it. There's going to be everybody else out there saying this stuff, but that's the real question. The intellectual question at this point, based on what we know, is, now, you and I, they are wrong. I mean, they're wrong. We know they're wrong, but we don't know that exactly. Let's just say this. You can stipulate, okay, they might be right, but they might not have been warranted in any of this, right? So what happens then? See, then nobody wants to talk about that. What happens then? Is this just a repeat of the Clintons who get away with everything? You see where this has led us. You see where the nasty, swampy Arkansas corruption has led the country. Nixon resigned the presidency when it doesn't even appear to this day that he knew anything about the Watergate deal, and he used some bad words on a tape, and he was kind of mean, and people didn't like him. We have devolved to a point, ladies and gentlemen, to where we are like closer and closer to a banana republic than you would want to accept. And many of us were ringing those clarion calls in the 90s about the Clintons, that's exactly what the sex with the interns and the immoral behavior and then the illegal behavior and then she's back in Obama term and the outright illegal behavior keeping her own private server when all of those are supposed to be on a secure government server and the records kept and everything and she runs her own server. She doesn't get prosecuted. They don't raid it. We even knew where it was. They don't raid it. They don't go seize the evidence. Nothing like that. It's all cooperative and the FBI and everybody just took Hillary Clinton's word. Oh, we looked through it. There's nothing there, blah, blah. It's a bunch of wedding stuff with my daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, we have devolved. And this is the key question. If indeed, as most of us think right now, but we can't prove it yet, that this was totally unjustified and unwarranted and was outside of the norm for exact type of evidence collection, what happens to these people? And if it's nothing, we don't have a country anymore. Because this just gets worse and worse. We're already on this downhill slide. And you cannot have a representative republic when the people lose faith in the institutions. I mean, total faith, where everybody, people say, well, they're all crooked. Maybe some people really believe that, but it's quite different saying they're all crooked individual versus the institutions that we pay for that are there to serve us themselves are not legitimate. That's the end of the country, and that's where these leftists bring us. Now, that's your podcast extra appended to today's regular show and the podcast of the show. Sorry I couldn't get to it all on radio, but that's a good reason for you to go try the podcast out, my friends. We're in trouble. Pray for your country. Pray for God's guidance. Adios.
Hear all the great Texas music Proton Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.